Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Into the Dark Blue. Before we get started, I want to let you guys know that this episode is a pretty big deal for us here at Into the Dark Blue. This episode marks the beginning of our live events that we're going to be doing around the country to bring men's groups to independent breweries near you. So we're kicking it off with Mad Pecker Brewing here in San Antonio, Texas, and we're going to be doing a series of five benefit events around Texas the first week of November, and we're going to be raising money with the Movember Foundation, and we're sponsored by Sheath Underwear, Liquid Death, Stand Strong, so we've got some amazing giveaways that we're going to be doing at these events. We've got Time Wheel Records that's going to be with us doing some electronic music. And we've got some local artists as well in the different cities that are going to be doing some music and trivia, things like that. At any rate, this is pretty exciting for our fundraising aspect for Into the Dark Blue, so we can keep doing what we're doing. And we really hope that you guys can come out and get involved and come meet us face to face. So you can check out our schedule online at intothedarkblue.com or on Instagram at intothe_darkblue, and you can find out where to come meet up with us. Otherwise, if you're interested in giving to our cause or donating to our fundraiser, you can also find that at the website on the main page of intothedarkblue.com, and you can donate to our GoFundMe there. Otherwise, let's get into this, guys. I'm really excited about this episode with Jason Gonzalez, the owner of Mad Pecker Brewing. He's got a lot of really great stuff to say about what it's like owning a brewery during COVID. It's a pretty exciting conversation, so let's get into it. Cool. And so what's like with your... Sorry, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. I edit these things, so don't worry about that. That's all good. What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I am lucky enough to be sitting here at Mad Pecker Brewing today with Jason Gonzalez, the owner and head brewer, I assume.
And head brewer, yeah. And everything in between. Yep.
And this Mad Pecker is a really amazing example of a hometown self-run business, independent brewery. It's really exciting that these guys are here. And I'm grateful to be sitting and talking with Jason today about why he did it, why he's here, and why this brewery is important to him. So how's it going, Jason?
All good, man. Welcome to the Mad Pecker. Good to see you in here, and nice to actually be able to share a beer with you.
Yes.
This time. So
yeah, absolutely. With that said, actually, let's have a little toast. What are we drinking today?
So what we're drinking today is our session hazy IPA called Chill Hop. It actually pays a little homage to a genre of music called chill hop, which is kind of like a jazzy lo-fi genre of music. So yeah,
that's what I listen to when I'm working.
There you go, man. So this kind of pays homage to it. It's a nice 4.9%. We've got some Mosaic, Nelson, Citra, Strata. So it's a real juicy. We use a nice New England style yeast that really
those are types of hops, by the way, guys.
Yes, types of hops. I'll get kind of nerdy in there, but we don't have to get too
as nerdy as you want. A lot of these guys probably want to learn. So, absolutely. But yeah, thanks, man. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Get that first sip in. It's like pineapple
so
juice.
Good.
It's just a good way to start the day, man.
It reminds me of the orange pineapple juice from like Dole that I used to drink as a kid.
And it's great, man, because we actually can brew this without having to add anything in it.
Yeah.
So this is just straight, you know, your usual beer ingredients, water, malt, hops, and yeast, and that's it, man. No little bells and whistles to it.
Yeah, no fruit peels or anything.
No, we don't have to do any of that, man. Definitely don't have to do any of that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really good. It's like it's got a nice sweet finish. It's a good summer easy drinker, it's pretty impressive.
This is definitely a lot of the styles that we like to brew here. We like to focus on the hazy IPAs. That's kind of like our thing. Your local haze dealer is kind of like our little, you know, motto that we've got for Mad Pecker. But
nice.
We got a big portfolio, but we do focus on the haze.
Awesome. I love that. And I'm actually really excited to get into a little bit more about your beers, because you guys have a really cool theme here.
in general. And it's that the whole music theme, the hip hop theme.
Yep.
I see that here and there, but I really enjoy it when a brewery can like make a connection with their beer, and not just say, "Oh, here's a beer," and just drink it.
Yeah.
But when you have some kind of purpose behind the name and the brewing process, like, you know, why did you brew that specific beer or whatever it is? So, so where does that come into play for you?
So I'm gonna jump back about close to 30 years now, right? And what 25 years ago, I was DJing. That's kind of was my thing. So late 90s, I had my two turntables and I was, you know, DJing. I had a good time doing that. And I always had that just big hip hop influence.
Nice.
that really just kind of inspired me to do a lot of things. I started doing personal training and I even kind of had a hip hop theme on that. It was called All City Fitness. There was an old hip hop group called All City.
Cool.
And I kind of, you know, took that from there. Jump here now to present day Mad Pecker and a lot of the influence, like you say, like you see it in here in the pub, the beer names, they're heavily driven off of, you know, just that hip hop and not so much just trying to, you know, take a name and make it kind of like a, you know, something to sell.
Kitschy.
it really is. I mean, there is a lot of influence that we have. When we first started, a lot of our fermenters, we kind of named them after deceased rappers, right? So
Big Pun,
Prodigy, Biggie, Tupac, Big L,
nice.
Fife, Dilla. We had a lot of these just hip hop elements just from the start.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
It's just one of those things. It's always catchy for us. And it's, you know, again, it's not a gimmick. It's just the way
part
we
of
are
your
here.
Life. Yeah. It's like, it really yeah, is. It's, yeah, that's yeah. awesome. So you've been brewing, well, you're here at Mad Pecker for 5 years, you said. What got you started with brewing in general? Like,
you know, it really just kind of started from, I started to get into craft beer and I was like, man, this would be cool to start homebrewing. I want to, you know, everybody at some point they get into something and they want to, you know, take it a step further and
right.
see how they can get more involved in it.
Yep.
And for me, it was learning the process of brewing. It didn't take me too long to understand that I didn't want to just brew on my stove. I wanted to get some more equipment and do it in my garage and get a little bit more hardcore into it. So, mm-hmm. Two batches on my stove. Then I went into all grain brewing. And from there, it just kind of like, you know, I had more fun with it. And there were times where I would just brew a beer, you know, and I had a bunch of 5 gallon kegs. I'd fill them. There were some beers I hardly ever, I didn't even get to the kegs.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed the process of brewing.
The science
and
of it.
Yeah. It is a science and there is a way to kind of make it your own. Mm-hmm. And I got really hung up on that process of trying to make it my own because it was really creative and you got to express yourself. It's like a chef, right? You
yeah.
know, a chef comes
oh, totally.
In,
creating
you get to really,
and...
yeah, you get to learn the flavor and what that chef is thinking when you taste his food.
Yeah.
For me, it's comes through in my beers with, you know, with artists, it comes through in their music and it comes through in their lyrics. Right. So
yeah,
this
totally.
Is my way of expressing myself is through the beer. And it just kind of, like I said, it just really grew from that home brewing and
yeah.
having a good time doing it. And hey, it was fun to get beer and, you know, not have to pay for it at HEB or, you know,
yeah.
and, you know, and all
seriously,
that stuff.
Seriously. Yeah. Just throw some yep. Wheat. In
yeah. We'll have in a couple of weeks, we'll have, you know, 5 gallons of beer to drink and we're all good.
Yeah. It's kind of like hunting, you know, like when you get your own meat,
mm-hmm.
it's, you have it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go
yeah.
to the store.
You sourced
like,
it on your
yeah,
own.
Exactly.
You know where it came from, you know, everything about it. And when you work hard to get something and to actually go through the process of making, you know, making the effort to make it your own, it's just like that much more enjoyable. And you really take pride in at that point in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And there's definitely, it just like, it makes you feel good to know that you accomplished something.
Yeah. And you don't need anybody to do it for you.
Yeah,
you can just go
exactly.
in there and do it, man. I look at it like now, I mean, hey, end of the world, you know, hopefully they're going to need scientists. They're going to need, you know, hopefully they'll need a brewer and I can maybe get myself on that boat or, you know, in that
the world
and
always needs brewers.
That's man. What I'm hoping, man. So if anything, and the good thing, like I said, we don't go do all of our beer shopping at HEB or Costco, man. So we know
yeah.
how to brew it, you know,
that's
with
really
just natural
cool.
ingredients and stuff. So
I love that. Yeah. And that's one thing that I like for me more recently, I've been much more conscious of my food and the things that I put in my body. Mm-hmm. And so many breweries, especially the bigger ones, will use just put in all this extra stuff, sugars and flavors and like natural flavors and all these things that just are not good for us.
Yeah. And that it's hard because you can only really drink so much of that. Right. Like, I mean, at some point you're just going to get fatigued from just having so much, just of such a heavy beer. Like a lot of breweries right now, there's a big trend towards these like pastry stouts where they're throwing in these brownies and all these, you know, cake batter and all this other stuff. And it's I haven't had one to date, and I don't go to a brewery and go look through their beer list and say, let me get, you know, the biggest adjunct beer.
Yeah, give me the most exotic.
I want to just drink a clean Pilsner or a clean IPA, pale ale, something that's, you know, to style and classic, and I can just kind of go from there.
Yeah.
Hey, check this out. If you haven't tried Sheath underwear yet, I can tell you from experience, it will change your life. It's got not one, but two pouches for your bits and pieces. It's basically like upgrading from a studio apartment to a two-bedroom house for your junk. I won't wear anything else at this point. I've replaced my entire underwear drawer with Sheath. So if you want to try it out for yourself, you can get 25% off by going to sheathunderwear.com and use promo code DARKBLUE, all caps, DARKBLUE.
So you're also a dad.
I'm also a dad.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I'm also a dad.
So do you kind of use your tactics with business, with your kids as well? Do you, things like kind of cross over with that?
It actually, you know, as my, I have my son who actually works here. So he's been a part of the business since it started. My daughter's taken an interest in brewing and she comes and she helps out, but it definitely does take a different aspect when you own your own business and you want your kids to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Because you really do, you want to show them the path that, hey, they may not want to own a brewery, they may not want to work in a brewery, but I want them to know that, hey, if there is some type of goal or dream that you want, just go out there and chase it, right? My parents were supportive. They were very afraid when I told them, oh, I just signed a lease for a, you know, 4,200 square foot building. I have no idea how I'm going to pay for it, but, you know, me and my wife are going to just go ahead and take the plunge.
Yeah.
I want them to do that same thing and not be afraid to do it. So it is cool. It is cool for them to see this aspect of the business through a pandemic.
Yeah.
Because they've had to see like, okay, how do we survive? And the big word during the pandemic was pivot, right? All these businesses had to pivot.
Yep.
So how do you know, being able to give them some life lessons through a brewery, through a pub, and being able to see, you know, just how important it is to really just chase your dream, chase your goals and not be afraid to do it. That's always it's a really cool thing.
That's really cool. And to be able to set that example too, I think is really amazing.
Definitely.
You know, and it's, you were talking about growing up here in San Antonio and so, you know, the area very well.
Absolutely. In this 78250 where the pub is located, I've been in this area pretty much my entire life.
So. Yeah. That's awesome. And like, I've spent a lot of time here as well. I was in this, I think I was here for 18 years in this area. And watching it grow and become what it has over the years is just really awesome. And to be able to be a part of the community now and to be something that like is contributing to the community, it has to be a really great feeling.
It really is, especially when it's now I'm a part of the community that I live in. So my business is in the community I live in. It's in the community I grew up in, and it's really cool to be. So for the people out there listening that don't really understand where Mad Pecker's at, we're like entrenched in this neighborhood, right? So we're
the
like literally
of San Antonio.
We're surrounded by rooftops. We're not in a big shopping center off of a highway or located downtown. So we really are entrenched in the community. So it is cool. Some of our core beers are named after the subdivisions. So we kind of incorporate, you know, the area. But it is cool to be able to do things. We've been able to positively help the community by doing little fundraisers and being proactive in helping out people that have, you know, come into the pub that are around here and you know, just need a place to maybe throw a little fundraiser or need a beer brewed for something. And we've been able to do that. That's nice to be able to give back. If that's how we can give back, then we're always, you know,
that's awesome.
To do that.
That's really cool. That's a really cool example to be able to set for your kids too, like taking ownership in your community and that kind of thing. How would you describe growing up here in San Antonio? Like when you were a kid growing up, like what kind of, what can you remember something, the things that just really stand out to you growing up here?
You know, I think it's for San Antonio is it's a great place to live. It's a great place to, now I understand, you know, when they say it's a great place to raise a family, it is. I mean, I've never had an issue being here. A lot of the things that I remember are no longer here. Like I remember there was this store called Wins. I used to go to Wins all the time, man. You could go to Wins and go shopping. You could get little parakeets. You could get goldfish. You know, it was a really
kind
cool
of like
store.
A small Walmart.
Yeah,
kind of
man,
thing,
it was right? Like a small Walmart. You know, but there's always been this sense of community in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I may not be the best judge of other cities because I really very rarely do I venture out.
Yeah.
But it's enough for me here in San Antonio to be able to say, yeah, I'm totally down with always calling this home,
yeah,
making sure that my family calls this home, and being able to support this community. You know, we're not going to stop with Mad Pepper Brewing. We want to open additional pubs and we want to do additional things and
that's awesome.
And really, you know, keep our roots growing really strong in San Antonio. And if there's one thing in San Antonio that we can help out, it's the beer community and the beer scene.
Yeah.
And even if it's just a small part and we, you know, are able to get people interested in beer and even somebody that's out from out of town be able to say, hey, you know what, I want to go check out San Antonio. Their beer scene's growing. Check out this place, Mad Pecker. Yeah, we always want to be able to be able to do that.
Be a part of that. That's awesome.
Yep.
That's really cool. So I'd like to, if you have some, like, do you have some connections with like mental health stuff and that kind of thing? Or
I mean, I can, there's some things I have as far as like having to run a business and having a business and a family and mm-hmm. having to deal with all the things that are going on and mm-hmm. having to, like you said, eat healthy and work out and all those things.
It's actually perfect because we can transition from talking about like just wanting your kids to be part of the business to mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, we can totally do that.
Okay.
And then, yeah. Okay. That's perfect. I like it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're talking about running a business during the pandemic, mm-hmm. And you've done something a certain way for 4 years. You've got to transition and pivot, as you say, into doing something completely different than you've ever done it before. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys did some pickup only for a while and all that. And I've seen so many businesses struggle with that period of time where it was pickup only or they had to close or whatever the case was. So how has that kind of impacted you mentally? What's been the process for you trying to just stay on top of not just going crazy over
there? that was probably this, you know, from March up until, you know, this last month, that was a really challenging time because when you, it's not so much just, is my business going to stay open? I have employees that I'm responsible for.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of the hardest thing was knowing that if I let this person go, I may be okay because I still have income generating, you know, from the pub, even if it's a small amount, but I'm going to be affecting this person's, you know, way of life. Are they going to mm-hmm. be able to pay their rent? That was really, really hard for us to deal with.
Yeah.
And those types of challenges kept me up at night, and they more than anything were what I focused on. And that was kind of like a tough, you know, transition time, right? If the pub fails, whatever, right? You know, we close up shop, we open up another one later on.
Right.
But knowing that there were employees that they were relying on this job.
Absolutely.
And they were, you know, if they leave this service industry, there are no other jobs for them to go get, right? So mm-hmm. it's not like this was a booming market to go out for them to get jobs. And that was tough. We didn't have to get rid of too many people, which was great. But it was a stressful thing and it took its toll. I had to find outlets to disconnect from here, right? So I had to, I bought my wife a Peloton 3 years ago. It's in our room. She rides it religiously.
Oh, cool.
I never get on that thing until this stuff, you know, started popping up and I could find myself just drained all the time.
Yeah.
And I started riding and I started getting on the bike a lot more. We had bought a home gym and we had bought a nice little weight system. Thankfully, before is now you can't find weights anywhere online.
I know, yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah.
So I had kind of outfitted a gym there at my house, and I just had to turn my phone off, get in there and really just disconnect and just start focusing on myself, because I could find myself really just getting so stressed out. It was waking me up at night. It was affecting my sleep. It was affecting my diet. It was just getting to the point where I couldn't, you know, I couldn't
just hear all the time eating up food.
And, oh yeah, man. Yeah. Not only that, because now we had a lot of food that was just there, and it was just like, well, I mean, I don't want to go eat anywhere else. Let me just eat here. So we don't have the most healthy menu in the world. That's for damn sure.
It's good though.
It's damn good though, but it'll put some pounds on you.
That bacon, mac and cheese, poutine.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. You'll feel full afterwards. But I think that was probably a really challenging time for not just myself and my wife, seeing the staff in here, knowing that their hours were being cut.
Yeah.
Trying to find creative ways to keep business going. Mm-hmm. That was probably what I spent a lot of my time on, because I knew we couldn't open, I knew we couldn't have people inside, but what could we do to keep them on the clock, just to, even if it was just
cleaning,
you know, and, anything that we could do.
Here, come scrub the tank. You want to scrub the tanks? I'll pay you.
That's what we did, and that's ultimately what it came down to. And thankfully, I'm so proud of our staff for hanging in there, and I'm so appreciative for the customer base and the people that have truly supported local and supported businesses during this time. I can never be thankful enough to them. And I'm hopeful that, you know, as business starts to, things get back to normal and business starts to increase, that we can maybe do something, you know, a little, you know, thank you, for you know, community. Later on for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
But yeah,
kind of like a little benefit. Thank you dinner.
Yeah. Just a, you know, hey, we're done with COVID or something, man. I cannot wait for that day. But, it was tough. And I, you know, a lot of people lost their businesses during this time.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, that they find ways to, you know, to rebound and bounce back. But, you know, we didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, you got to trust your gut at some point, and you just got to, we did it for 4 years, like you said, a certain way. And you just got to trust that what you're going to do is going to work, and you might fail. And if you do, that's okay. Just pick yourself back up and you just keep rolling with it, man. I mean, there's no reason to know that once you've been knocked down that you can't get up and rebound from it.
That's very true, man.
All right. All this talking is making me a little thirsty. I think I'm going to take a little break real quick and grab myself a can of Liquid Death Mountain Water. This stuff is legitimately some of the most refreshing water I have ever had. And I know you're thinking, whatever, it's just water, right? No, this is different, guys. This stuff is hardcore. And not only is it hardcore, but it's also socially responsible. So check it out yourself. They have flat water and sparkling water as well at liquiddeath.com. And you can get 15% off your order with promo code DARKBLUE. So head on over to liquiddeath.com and murder your thirst.
So what was the point that you recognized that you were like, this is not healthy for me, I need to make some changes? What kind of mindset were you in where you finally were just like, I need to do something different?
Well, I think a lot of it started with, I found myself at home a lot. Just, well, you know, there's nothing to do, I'm just going to have some beer.
Yeah.
And it became real easy to just make, you know,
make beer, excuses beer, yeah. for drinking or eating bad food. Whatever,
make beer my outlet. I used to be very, you know, I had a strict diet and it was real, you know, when I had a schedule and I knew what was going on, it was easy for me to, you know, meal prep and all that stuff.
Right.
I stopped doing all that because I didn't want to go to the store anymore. So I just became all over on, you know, ordering food online.
Yeah.
So I just felt so sluggish and like I said, really my sleep. Yeah. I think when I felt my sleep pattern was really disrupted, I had no motivation to really do anything outside of just wake up and, you know, sit and watch TV.
Yeah.
At that point, I just felt like, man, you know what, this ain't working for me, man. This isn't me. This isn't, you know, what I do. As I get into my 40s now, I don't want to digress and take steps back when I've been building my health to make sure that I last another 40 years.
Yep, absolutely.
So, I think it was at that point, I've probably lost 20 pounds in like the past since June, and I just really just focus on
impressive.
Still have some beers and stuff, but you know,
right?
But
it's all about that balance.
But it is so much balance, man. Like
we talk about balance so much on this podcast. Okay. Like that's a really important thing because it's like, yes, have a beer, have a couple beers.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, man.
If you have bad habits, know
that you have ways to to correct those things. And for me, it became like I said, riding the bike and working out a little bit more consistently. And that alone, I was never a big cardio guy. I was always like, how much weight can I push? Yeah. How much weight can I lift today? My body just felt so much better, and I could feel myself just like every time I'd sweat, just flushing all that, you know, that bad stuff out. And my sleep improved, and at that point, granted, my diet didn't really improve because that's still kind of a pain for me sometimes. But ultimately, I think prior to recording this podcast, I told you we were going to be taking a trip, and we were going to be going on vacation, and That vacation right there, even though it was just a couple of days, that I think that was just the final release that I needed, just to really clear my mind and just
reset.
To get away from here, man. I as much as I love this business and I love everything about it, mm-hmm. it has more so this year than any other year has just become just everything that I do. Every thought, every waking moment is about this business, and it's good to be on top of it, but it can wear you out and it can totally drain you, and just being able to identify it and knowing that I'm starting to get frustrated with people, I'm starting to get frustrated with things, I'm losing my patience, I'm losing
this
my
isn't
temper.
How I it's usually just, am
yeah there's so. something is wrong, let me take a step back and let me kind of start working on myself a little bit. And I think ultimately once I got that lined up, things have been a lot better, and I know everybody goes through it, but it's just one of those things. You just have to be able to identify it within yourself and just admit to it that you've got, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just make some me time and go for it.
That's such a good point. I love that because I know a lot of the guys listening, a lot of the folks listening are doing their own thing, they're trying to make a business work. They're trying to, be life coaches. They're trying to do good in their communities as well, through their businesses. And it's so easy, like you said, to get wrapped up in it. It's mm-hmm. so easy to just stop focusing on yourself. And it's like, we have to give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And as much as we know that, as much as we hear that as like some, inspirational quotes all over the place mm-hmm. about taking care of yourself, it can be so hard to implement that in your life.
It is. And if you're not there, mind, body, spirit, if you're not there 100%, your whatever you're working towards and whatever you're working for is going to suffer. And at some point it's going to break you down, and you're going to have lost out on a lot of time where you could have been more, absolutely. Productive with not just your business, but your life, your family, friends, everything takes a hit.
Did you by chance ever read The Fall of the House of Usher?
I've probably read two books in my life. I'm terrible at reading. Okay. So that one I definitely didn't read.
I had to read it. It's a short story by Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
And the whole thing is just about this house, and it's called The House of Usher. And it's basically like, it talks about how when one thing gets let go and it just starts this kind of chain reaction, mm-hmm. and just the attention to keeping things up and keeping the house in order just falls apart, and in time the house is just going to fall in on itself.
Yep.
And just become this place of just like, I don't know,
chaos.
Dismal chaos. Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. Exactly. And so it's just the importance of keeping up your house, mm-hmm. and not literally your physical house, but your body, your mind, all of that, like you said. And it's so relatable in that aspect. And so all of you guys listening, Take note of yourself right now. Take a minute. When this podcast is over, just take a second and breathe and think about where you're at and think about the care that you might need to give yourself right now. Whatever aspect of your life it's in, you try to find where you need that balance, whether you need to take care of yourself physically more, mentally more, or even socially. Social interaction is super important. And if you're not giving yourself enough of that, then that can also lead to some pretty difficult issues. So
yeah, and that's probably been a hard thing for so many people to do, that rely on that social interaction, is because it's been taken away in some small way, but it's not the same. It's not what people are used to.
I feel like it's a pretty big way. Like probably 6 months there, it was a pretty big way.
Yeah, I don't think I left my house for, aside from coming over here and having to do a, you know, I remember the first time I went to HEB, I had two masks on, gloves on, long sleeve shirt. I mean, I was, I was completely, freaked out to be out there. But I think ski after mask. That first time, man, yeah. Funny story. I the first time I had to go to the bank, uh-huh. I went over there in a mask and I was like, okay, this does not seem right, man. I'm going to the bank in a mask and it was a little bit weird, but,
yeah,
man, it's totally changed the way things are. But, now more than ever, I think people just need to rely on, their support system, whatever it is. And just know that, taking 30 minutes out of your day just to, take care of yourself is a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's truly is your best investment in your own self. And if you do that, you can really,
absolutely
feel good the next day or that same day or whatever to keep yourself going.
Yeah, definitely.
Recharge.
Yeah. So I try really hard to stick to, probably over the last year ish, I've tried to stick to a routine in the mornings, mm-hmm. and making sure that I devote my mornings to myself.
Okay.
And waking up and, I drink a glass of water, I drink a cup of coffee, and I read.
Nice.
And then I'll do some meditations and things like that and just enjoy the silence, enjoy the beginning of the day, and just kind of let it come in.
I've always tried to put myself on a schedule. And like we were talking earlier, like I get so caught up because my days, running a pub, sometimes it's late nights.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I'm brewing, it's really early mornings.
Really, yeah.
And so it's, and in between having to do all the other, 9-to-5 stuff that entails with coming with the business. So
all
it's
the administrative
like,
things.
Yeah. Finding just that little time to carve out. I've tried doing it in the mornings. Mm-hmm. My body needs time to get up and I need some caffeine and I need to get myself in gear. And I've noticed by the time I've waited, it's like, oh man, I got to get to the pub. I got a meeting with somebody. And it's like, I guess I'll work out later. And then once I push that workout away, it's like, oh man, I missed my.
Doesn't happen.
It's nice to have a schedule and it's nice to just be able to say, now, you know what, man, I'm not going to be able to see you today. I'm going to, I need to get this done.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a workout or even if it is just sitting down and reading a book and, doing some yoga or meditating because, if I don't have that, you're not going to have my attention when I meet you, because I'm going to be so pissed off that I missed what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
So,
exactly. Yeah, yep. All you're thinking about is I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
So I want to challenge you guys, when this podcast is over, I want to challenge you guys to just take some time and, take care of yourself. Give yourself a few minutes to just sit and think about where you're at and what you need to change, to find balance. And so you can get out there and be productive in whatever it is that you're doing, whatever goals you're trying to reach, be able to pivot when you need to.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
So, cool. Well, man, I really appreciate you joining me for this conversation. I love being able to have these conversations with guys who are running these local businesses, these independent breweries, and just hoping to really just give some encouragement for other people trying to do similar things,
Yeah. I think we all need to hear it from different perspectives every once in a while. I think, there's for every book and, podcast and whatever TV show there is out there about how to run a business. There's no right way. There's no true blueprint.
There's really not.
You really got to trust your gut and, you do your research and it's your business because that's the way you want it to, you want to run it and, don't try to, be like anybody else. Just go out there and just chase it, man. Just do it.
There you go. That's so perfect. Get out there and do it.
Yep.
I love it. Cheers.
Yeah, yeah, man. Cheers.
Thanks.
It's almost time for a refill.
Indeed.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving. Hold up. Don't go anywhere just yet. Jason and I were having such a good time talking that we decided to keep recording. So for those of you who want to keep on listening, we've got some great stuff about mental health and also some nerd stuff about beer. So if you want to geek out about beer a little bit and hear Jason talk about his brewing process and all that, then definitely stick around and check it out. Otherwise, we will catch you next time on Into the Dark Blue.
We're actually doing a documentary on mental health as well, and basically the state of mental health in the U.S. and the kind of highlight the need for more accessible, more affordable mental health care. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, whether it's like men's groups like this, like what we're trying to do, or whether it's just making more money available for people to get mental health.
And I think the services. More awareness you bring, one of the things that I see in all that is it seems like people, because there's not so much just out there for people to lean on, mm-hmm. that they feel like there's nothing there and that they have to stay secluded in it and not really like go out and get help because it's like, if you do that, you know, there's something wrong with you. Like, I think that's what's bullshit, you know, like, even this thing that happened with I know because I keep up with sports a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Dak came out and said, hey, I was going through all this stuff when my brother committed suicide. And then, you know, Skip Bayless comes out and says, hey, that's not a leader. You know, you don't want to know that somebody like this is like that's a real shitty way for a society to have.
Yeah, like not that, allowing that, like, people yeah, to, like, to you mourn, can't ex- to yeah. struggle, to.
You're not a
like,
human, dude. Come on. Seriously, man. Like, it's not going to affect this guy on the playing field. Dude. He's talking about what he's doing in his house and how he's feeling inside, you know, his four walls. And it's like, dude, you can't tell somebody how they're supposed to feel.
Wow.
Like, that's messed up, man.
See, I don't keep up with sports too much. And I hadn't even heard about
that. And like that was a big, you know, it's a big thing. I mean, you know, this guy's got three brothers. One of his brother commits suicide. And, you know, you're going to tell me that you're going to judge him based on what he went into a press conference and said about how it affected him. And he didn't feel like working out. Like, what, you want him to be a robot and just, you know, continue to live his life and be like, fuck it. Oh, well, my brother committed. Like, come on, man.
Dude, and that's exactly what we're trying to do is break down some of those, like, expectations of what men are supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're allowed to have feelings, mm-hmm. you know? Like, when somebody in our lives commits suicide, feel. Let us feel what we need to feel. Like, let us be sad. Let us be angry. Like, and on top of that, like, it's all about allowing ourselves to be in it and knowing that we can give ourselves the permission to have those feelings.
If you keep something like that bottled up, it's going to come out in the wrong way at some point.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, with anything that happens, with any death or anything that's negative in your life, you have to be able to express it in some way.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, if you wait and you wait till something, you know, till the wrong time, it's going to be, that's where, you know, somebody ends up hurting themselves because they feel like, fuck, I couldn't do anything about this. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to listen to me. I couldn't talk to anybody. There was nothing there for me. So, you know, why keep going? And like, that's shitty. You know, that sucks.
Yeah, no, it really is.
That sucks.
It's terrible. So, all right, guys, this is some bonus stuff because Jason and I just kept talking after we finished recording and we were like, you know what, let's keep going because the conversation is getting real good.
Drinking beer,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We still got beer in the glass, so let's make it happen. Actually, Jason just poured us a little half pour of a different style. What do we got?
So this is an amber ale, a true to style. So it's called the Ripper, and I'll get into the name in a little bit, but let me just give you a little background. So the Ripper is basically American style amber ale. You get the caramel malts, get some dark fruits in there, a little bit of hop character in it, but it's for the most part the malt, you know, takes the show on this one.
Nice.
6%. So it's, you know, enough to get, you know, get some alcohol presence in it, but it's, you know, you can still drink
it's not
know,
overwhelming
two, three, and you're fine.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the name, like I said, our beer names have some type of meaning in some way, shape, or form. So there's a ditch maybe about a mile from here that when I grew up, I was into the skateboard thing. And the ditch was called the Ripper because if you skated this ditch, you were going to fall and you were going to scrape up your knees, you're going to scrape up your elbows or something worse. So we called it the Ripper.
Uh-huh.
And I have a sign I'll show you in a little bit. But the guy that did the sign for it, it's like a dude skating. And it's just kind of, again, if it's paying homage to something, it's paying homage to just skateboarding and just, you know, getting yourself ripped up, but you know,
that whole lifestyle, like, I grew up skating too. Like that was like when I wasn't at school for several years, I was on my skateboard.
I absolutely sucked at skating. I most of the time sat on my ass, rode down the hills and just had fun.
Watched
with it.
Everybody else,
it was fun, man. I had a little, GNS Danny Webster, skateboard. I miss those days where, you know, Hosoi Rockets were the wheels I had. I had tracker trucks. I had all this cool shit on there, right? It was like fun being able to, you know.
There was a sense of freedom in that. Especially as a teenager, you know, when you didn't have a car yet. Like, your parents were still kind of keeping tabs on you.
Yep.
And, like, you could just get out there and get on your skateboard and,
do your thing, man. It was fun. Yeah, I used my skateboard for more stupid things than actually skating, which sucked. but it was a good time. And back in the day, man, I mean, that's when every, you know, kids got outside and actually did things. And
Right.
You know, I'd say that you know, skaters aren't out there doing it now. Because now I see more. Yeah, I know, right? Old man Jason. But now, you know, I see a lot of kids out at skate parks now and they're skating. And the boards look, like, totally different now.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely a bust my ass moment if I get on one of those. So that's what the Ripper stands for.
Cool.
You know, part of that community thing, man. Keeping it with the neighborhood.
Absolutely. You know? You were talking about, like, simple beers, and I've gained much more of an appreciation for those over the last couple of years. I went to Germany for vacation, first time, 4 years ago, I think. And I spent some time in Munich, and beforehand I was like, I had heard about this purity law that Germany has and how you have to keep to these certain parameters to be able to call it beer, you know, when you're brewing. And so part of me was just like, oh, well, that's dumb. You know, that's,
I don't want no Bud Light crap.
But, and so, because at the time the craft beer industry was very much about, like, just making the biggest, boldest, like, weirdest beer they could possibly make. And it still is. I see a lot of that on the, like, Instagram beer pages and things like that. But, so there was a part of me that was just like, oh, well, that's boring. Like, that takes the fun out of making beer, blah, blah, blah. And I go to Germany and I taste one of their beers and I was just like, holy shit,
this is beer.
Like, this is good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
So like over the last few years, I've really developed a taste for breweries who can take a simple beer recipe and do it well.
Absolutely, man. That's to me, that's what it's all about, right? Like, I know a lot of breweries, they make their money off of making the most hype, you know, beer that they can come up with. And, you know,
highest ABV,
I'm cool with ABVs and IBUs, but I think, right now the trend right now is, like, you know, and again, you know, no disrespect to these breweries that are doing it, right? But, you know, you get these pickle beers and it's such a fad, right? It's such a thing to where it's like, how many pickle beers can you really drink? Right. Yep. Like, I mean, it's cool. It's novelty of having a pickle beer, but, you know, I don't really think it showcases what a brewery is, you know, truly capable of doing.
I
think these classic styles, like we brew an ESB, we brew this amber, we brew a lot of classic styles. Mm-hmm. I think people see us as a nano brewery. And for those that don't know what a nano brewery is, we just brew one barrel at a time. So we literally brew enough beer to fill up two kegs. That's it. So 30, nice. Basically 30 gallons worth of beer is what we get, what we yield.
Yeah.
So everything has to be a home run, dude, for us. Cause if not, we've wasted 2 weeks of a beer being in a fermenter and it's, you know, then we got to basically
money.
Start
That's
over.
Money right there.
It really is. So, but, you know, we do an oatmeal stout, a porter. We pretty much cover every classic style. Mm-hmm. That we can, and we don't really get into the adjunct beers or, you know, fruited sours or anything like that. It's not our thing, right? It's not my thing. There's a lot of breweries out there that do it well, and I'd rather just buy their beer and put it on tap because I don't want to go through the trouble
them
of doing
at the
it.
Same time.
I don't want to go through the trouble of doing it, but you really learn to appreciate a Pilsner or a Helles, or like you said, when you're in Germany, you're drinking these Kulchen, beers that, you really, like, there are no imperfections in that beer. There's nowhere for that beer. A brewer can't hide behind certain flavors.
Too much cinnamon.
Cinnamon or brownies or cake batter or pickle juice or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
You're not really tasting the beer at that point. You're just tasting whatever adjunct they threw in.
So there's actually a brewery in downtown San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name at the moment, but they do a tamarind lager.
Okay.
Which is so San Antonio, right? And they brew their lager, and then separately they brew a concentrated tamarind mixture.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And it's fermented and everything.
Gotcha.
And they make it there. And so, and then they, so they take the tamarind and they put it in with their lager.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of blend it in. When you order it. Yeah. And it's phenomenal.
Nice.
It's such a great thing because it has a very natural flavor to it. You know,
It's not over the top. It's
right.
Probably well balanced.
Right. Exactly. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. But you know, things like that are kind of different because it's more of like, it's very local, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, it's very specific to San Antonio and the culture here,
mm-hmm.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that are definitely fun and enjoyable and like, it's, you know, very refreshing.
It's cool to, you know, I mean, that's part of craft, right? Like is being able mm-hmm. to experiment and breweries doing yep. these things to experiment and kind of showcase what they feel is, you know, is what they're good at. So
yeah, totally.
So I don't, you know, necessarily want to knock them for doing those things, but you know, for me, if I'm out, you know, going, if I'm going to go hit some breweries and, you know, do some brewery tours or whatever, I'm usually looking for those classic styles because I think that's how you really get a good understanding of, okay, how good does this brewery,
exactly.
you know, brew this particular style.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, most of those big stouts that got all the adjuncts and cookie batter and stuff, they're like 10, you know, 10%, 9%.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not looking to go to a brewery and shoot my load on a 10% beer and then be done for the day. You know, I want to do
yeah,
some
you
sessions.
You want to be able to have a few.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
man.
Exactly.
And some of those beers, it's just like, whoa, man, I'm not only am I done, I'm full and okay, it's time to eat.
That's funny. Yeah. So, but that's what, you know, when I came in here actually for the first time, I was actually really appreciative of what you guys do. Because that attention to detail on the simple things.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it's may not be the coolest thing. It may not make us the hypest brewery, but I rather be the more, you know, we're thinking long-term, right? A lot of these
gotta
types
play the
of
long
beers.
Game.
Yeah. They're fads and they might be here a year or two, but
yeah.
I don't want to build our brand off of something that's, you know, might not be that popular in a couple of years.
Right.
I mean, we're known for consistency.
You want to be timeless.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. And like I said, we're not stopping with, you know, this Mad Pecker. I mean, there's many, many more to come.
Yeah.
But,
that brings me to another question for you. I've mm-hmm. been curious. Tell me about the name. Like, where does the name Mad Pecker come from?
The Mad Pecker name, man. So honestly, I wish it was a more exciting and dirty story. You know, although we have some variants of the story, but the true story behind it is.
So there's no STDs involved.
Definitely not, man. Thankfully, there's no STDs, man. There's a couple of other 3-letter abbreviations that are in there, but I was basically homebrewing for a while, and.
Yeah.
I needed a name to justify my homebrew, right? So I didn't want to just be Jason's homebrew on the bottle, right? I wanted it to be something. So I used to do a lot of trail running, and I came across this woodpecker. And as I'm running through the trails, I keep seeing this same woodpecker, right?
Yeah.
And it just kind of popped in my head. I'm like, man, I'm probably pissing this damn woodpecker off because it's probably just trying to find a spot to chill.
Yeah.
And I just keep coming across it and it keeps taking off. So kind of made me laugh inside. And I thought, you know, like Angry Pecker, it was
yeah.
kind of cool. That was the name for about a day. And then I changed it. You know, I was like, you know, Mad Pecker's kind of cool. And we submitted our logo to this guy that he kind of came up with the character logo, the dude with the steampunk looking guy.
Yeah.
And it just stuck, man. I was like,
that's
holy
awesome.
Shit, it's cool. Again, there was no plan to have a business named Mad Pecker at that time.
Yeah.
This was just something for out of my garage.
Yeah.
And when it was time to actually commit to a business name, I was like, yeah, we're gonna keep
that.
It with Mad Pecker, man. But
that's cool.
But there's some cool little things I'll have to show you in the logo. Like we kind of call them like little Easter eggs.
Little Easter eggs, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like some headphones on.
Uh-huh.
So I call him, you know, he was a DJ at some point. He has a little ring on his finger that's like, it's look like a little woodpecker, but it's like an extra stylus for like DJing.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of nice. Like, you know, we had to make it as hip hop as we could. So
right, of course.
So we were able to kind of spin it like that. But
it's so good. It's very existential too. You had this deep experience with a woodpecker
out of nowhere
while you were running.
And seriously, I got a call from a local newspaper, and they were like, "Hey, we're doing a story on woodpeckers, and we just wanted to get your story about woodpeckers." And I'm like, "Really, man?" I'm like, "One of the first stories I'm going to do about my brewery is actually about woodpecker. A woodpecker." So, okay, cool, man. Let's do it. So, you know, it is funny, but you know, man, that trail run right there just goes to show you, right? Like, you never know where you're going to be, the time and the place, and that idea is going to come. And you know, little did I know at that time that it's probably now 7 years later that I would be sitting here in my brewery doing a podcast, you know, drinking my beers that we're doing called, you know, at the Mad Pecker.
At the Mad Pecker. Crazy, man. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, cheers to you, man.
Cheers, brother.
Good job.
I appreciate it, man.
Well done.
Hell yeah. And I know one of the things that we're talking about was like the kind of like the hip hop elements in our beer names. Like a lot of people like get excited, right? So we do a stout called Quest.
Yeah, I love it.
Like an oatmeal stout, it's a stout called Quest. The infamous Hop Deep. I'm a huge Mobb Deep fan, right? Like Prodigy. Like that is my first tattoo on my arm was a Mobb Deep tattoo.
It's nice.
Like, that is my when Prodigy passed, that was like the worst day for me. I was so glad I got to see them live here in San Antonio. But a lot of our influence comes from, again, just having that hip hop music going, and even beer names sometimes it's just like Whirlwind Through Citra is an Afu Ra song called Whirlwind Through Cities.
Okay,
cool. I could go on.
I love hip hop, but you're a lot deeper than I am.
And I don't even really scratch the surface with a lot of people that really follow it. But yeah, man. But I just I really enjoy the lyrics. I love the beats. I've turned into this huge. I love instrumentals now.
Oh yeah.
And man, I can just fire off a playlist of boom bop instrumentals and just I'm good, man. I'm good. That's all I need.
I started listening to a group called the Bearded Skulls. They're really good, like hip hop electro kind of chill stuff. And I love stuff like that though, because it's so good for concentration and like really just helping you to kind of process your thoughts. And
it's not too you don't want something that's like too fast or too up tempo.
I'd say Black Violin is actually one of the first groups that got me really into that instrumental instrumental hip hop kind of stuff.
For me, it was Grammatic. Was big on that. Do you ever listen to Chill Hop records?
Not specific records. Like I usually listen to playlists on Spotify.
If you look up Chill Hop, it's Chill Hop Records.
Uh-huh.
You look up their playlists and on YouTube, like they've got some really, really good, just sit down and they got the visuals on there and it's really, really just like, okay.
That's cool.
Like nice mood music. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Cool, man. Well, hey, I'm curious if you'll show me your brew house.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It's not a big tour, but I will definitely show you, dude.
I just want to check out and see your operations. Yeah. So, guys, thanks for sticking around for this bonus material.
Hell yeah,
this is great. I'm going to go check out the tanks.
Let's go do it, man.
See what these guys are
doing.
Check
out the brewery.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Cool, man.
Thanks
you again. Got it. Hell yeah. Cheers, go.
Cheers.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving to foster a community of peers which empowers mental wellness, positive growth, and social awareness. If you like what we're doing and would like to support our community, you can purchase a pint glass or t-shirt from Sheath Underwear via the link on our merch tab at www.intothedarkblue.com or message us to make a one-time donation. All proceeds go to men's mental wellness initiatives. If you ever need a listening ear, feel free to message us on the website or at @into_the_darkblue on Instagram. If you have an emergency or need help from a professional therapist, we offer several resources on our Get Help page. Last but not least, know your limits and drink smart. Cheers.